10th canon, chapter 30, text number 39. She cried out.
She cried out.
Oh, Master.
Oh, Master.
My lover.
My lover.
Oh, dearmost.
Oh, dearmost.
Where are you? Where are you?
Where are you? Where are you?
Please, Almighty Armed One.
Please, Almighty Armed One.
Oh, friend.
Oh, friend.
Show yourself to me.
Show yourself to me.
Your poor servant.
Your poor servant.
Report. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes the following moving exchange. Radha says, My Lord, I am being burned in the great fire of separation from you, and my life air is about to leave my body. Even with the greatest endeavor, I cannot maintain my life. But you are the Lord of my life, so you can quickly save me simply by glancing upon me. Please do so immediately. I beg you to save my life, not for my sake, but rather for yours. After giving up all the other gopis, you've brought me so far to a secluded place in the forest just to enjoy special pleasure with me. If I die, you will not be able to find conjugal happiness anywhere else. You will remember me and thus lament in your sorrow. Krishna replies, So let me be unhappy. What does it matter to you? You are most dear to me. I will feel your unhappiness millions of times more than you do. Even if I've already died, I will not be able to tolerate the pain that even one spot on the nails of your lotus feet may experience. Indeed, to prevent such pain, I am ready to throw my life away millions and millions of times. So kindly show yourself and drive away that unhappiness. That's Radharani speaking again. But if your life air is on the verge of leaving your body, what can I do to stop that? Simply by the touch of your arms, which are a medicinal herb, which is the power to revive the dead, my body will return to its healthy, normal condition. And my life air will automatically come back and remain in my body. But if you know the forest path yourself without my help, why did you order me, the king's son and a very young and gentle boy who is to be respected, why did you command, take me wherever you wish? Why do you anger me like this? Radha cries out, Please show yourself to your wretched maidservant. Be merciful to me. Be merciful. When I ordered you, I was overcome by sleepiness. I was so tired from playing with you. Therefore, please excuse what your poor servant said. Please don't be angry. It was only because you treated me like such a close friend, though I'm unworthy, that I spoke like that to you. All right, my love. I'm very pleased with you, so please come to me. But I'm blinded by lamentation and I can't see where you are. Please tell me where you are. Om Agana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chaksura Militanyena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayamrupa Kadamayam Dadari Swaparantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sajajatam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamsha Shri Shri Radha Krishna Padam. So, Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavani Shri Vishakam Sute Devi Pranamami Shri Panchakalpa Chuvyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyavacha Patitana Bhavadeva Vaishnavadeva Namaha. This thing looks like one of those tasers.
Careful, whatever you say.
Yeah. One of those little police use. So these are, you chose this section specially for Radhasamaya. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is expanding on the conversation. nice. Feelings of separation. That's what is difficult to understand for ordinary people. And Krishna does that in different ways to different people. He seems to not be there. So that we will hanker more to be with him. So that's what he's doing here. And their idea of their loving pastimes is very sweet. So we know what happened. If you've been reading, Krishna left the Rasa dance with just Radharani. Although Radharani's name is never mentioned. Right? It's that special gopi. And because the other gopis had become a little proud, they were thinking, we're very especially fortunate or something. Krishna didn't like that. But also he wanted to favor one gopi. So we know it's Radharani, but the name is not mentioned because Sukadeva Goswami was such an elevated devotee of Srimati Radharani that if he would mention her name, then he would swoon in ecstasy or lose consciousness, and then he wouldn't have been able to continue speaking. So just sometimes different sampradayas, they'll question why is this talking about Radharani all the time? And the name is not mentioned in the Bhagavatam. It's understood. It says a few times, Aradhana, the greatest devotee, greatest lover. But it's understood from other places and by the six Goswamis, by Lord Chaitanya's teachings. It's understood, so we know that. So it's an interesting conversation. She's saying she's being burned up in the great fire of separation. Asishiva Paramatam Panashtama Madarshana Marmatam Karotva Itatitava Vidadatu Lampato Mat Prana Natas Tu Sevanapara. So that's more or less the same prayer what Chaitanya gave, but it's Radharani's prayer. That I don't know anyone except Krishna as my Lord, and even if he leaves me, you know, treats me bad, doesn't matter. I never deviate. So Krishna is like testing and does that with many, many different people. Even in the Bible there are stories like that of Krishna, you know, apparently abandoning, I think it was Job, to show his you know, that he was truly loyal. So when Krishna, there's no question of separation, but like when he sent Uddhava back to Vrindavan with a letter. And this is actually, he wrote a letter to so many gopis, not just one letter to everybody. But he wrote many individual letters. But they didn't like that. You know, he said, he was saying like he's all pervasive and he can't really be separated. And, you know, they didn't like that kind of philosophy. They wanted Krishna. They really wanted him. When Uddhava first came, they thought he looked so much like Krishna that they were thinking it was Krishna. But then they realized. But then he, you know, Uddhava had really come just to deliver the letter. And he read it off to them. But then, you know, they were so desperate to hear about Krishna and so happy. And he was so overwhelmed by seeing their love for Krishna that he felt very, you know, insignificant and unqualified. But then he stayed for a long time, I think a few months, and he just talked about Krishna to them, and then they were satisfied. That, you know, they wanted to know, what is he doing? What does he think about us? You know, just like, well, we have those kind of feelings, everyone does, because coming down from the spiritual world. So by hearing about these things, then we can get some understanding. And we have to hear them from proper authorities. Ordinary people, they may get wrong ideas about Krishna and the gopis and everything. But they were very young children at the time. So she's saying here, I'm just about ready to leave my body. I can't even stay in the body. So you have to please save me. You know, she's like trying everything, threatening that, you know, Krishna has to come back because he just left her. First he was carrying her for a while, then he just left her. And all the other gopis are also looking for Krishna. Previous verse she had said, you know, just carry me where, you know, carry me wherever you want to go. In other words, it's like some kind of surrender. But Krishna just joked and left her. Radharaniishvara. So the purport says Radharani was exhibiting the pride of a beautiful girl who has brought her boyfriend under control. So she said, just take me wherever you want, you know. So then Krishna disappears. You know, he's showing her that he's got some independence. But it might not look like pride, it's hard to understand, you know, but she's surrendering also. Okay, just whatever you want. But then she's saying, carry me and take me. So Krishna is saying, you know, well, who do you think you are? And this is quite funny here when she says, you know, if I die, then you'll be unhappy because I'm your only great pleasure in life. You've already rejected all the other gopis, and then if I die, you won't have anything. So you better come back. Right? Follow. And, I mean, everybody might have experienced or seen these type of conversations in the material world. So Krishna says, what do you care if I'm not happy? You know, what does it matter to you? Because you're ordering me around anyway. And then she says, I love you, you know. So if you're unhappy, then I'll be more unhappy than you. I'll suffer, she says, millions of times more unhappiness than you will suffer. And she says, even if I died, I couldn't tolerate the pain that even a little bit on the one toenail of your one toe would suffer. So in order to prevent that pain, I'm ready to throw my life away. So come back. You know, show yourself. In other words, I'm going to kill myself if you don't come back. And then Krishna says, well, if you're going to die, you know, what can I do about it? How can I stop it? If your life here is just ready to go, then what can I do? It's too late, like that. And then she says, if you just touch me, it's like medicine here. Just a touch of your arm is like herbal medicine, and it can even revive the dead. Of course, that's true, but she said, my body will become immediately healthy and strong, and my life air will come back, and everything will be fine. So she's glorifying Krishna and begging him, and he's playing games. That's, you know, I've seen that even then. I was at Gita Nagari and the peacocks, you know, was the season. So the boys were all going around, you know. And the girls would just ignore them. They would turn their back on them. The guys would jump around, you know. And they would kind of compete with each other. So these things go on and all over, and it's all coming from Krishna. He's the original. So Krishna says, why did you order me? You know, if you know your way around the forest, and, you know, I'm supposed to be the king's son, and I'm supposed to be respected, and why did you say, order me and take me wherever you want, you know? This is, you made me mad. And then she says, you know, be merciful, be merciful. Show yourself, you know. I'm sorry, she says, I was tired, I was sleepy, you know. walking, dancing all night, and I didn't, you know, I was not thinking straight, so I'm sorry. You know, that made you mad. Now I'm changing. So, you know, give me mercy. Don't be angry. I was, you know, I just, you treated me too nicely and I became familiar. You know, because you took me like your friend and you're giving me all kinds of special attention. So that, and so then Krishna says, all right, you know, come to me. But then she doesn't know, where are you? You know, he's still like hiding somewhere behind, because it would be hard to do that now if you've been to Vrindavan, but in those days the forests were very thick and it was night, so it was easy to hide. Just go behind a tree somewhere and, you know, very, no one can see anything. Normally in a thick forest, you know, we can't see very much. Now when we go to Vrindavan and they say, now we're in this Mahavan or this van, but there's no trees, so it's a little hard to, you know, you have to really have a spiritual vision nowadays. But there was, at that time, so many trees. And you can't see, even in the daytime, you can't see things. That, I heard something about one tribe in South America or something. And, you know, they live in a very thick jungle. So their hearing becomes very, very good. They go by hearing more than seeing. You can't see, you know, even if there's a tiger really close, they can't see it. But they can hear it or smell it. So they have different senses. So she couldn't, she said, I'm blinded by lamentation. She didn't even mention the night, but just by crying out for Krishna, that's the mood of the, well, that's the highest mood that Krishna gives. Because when one is separated, then they even have that saying in English, absence makes the heart grow fonder. You know, when you lose something, then you really worry about it. Right? We've all experienced. You lose, especially if we lose our cell phone, then we think about it very intensely. Our money. One man I met, one Indian man, he had a lot of money, and I mistakenly asked him for a donation, like, pretty quick. And he gave me the big lecture about you shouldn't care about money, and money doesn't mean anything. And, you know, whatever Krishna gives you. And then the next time I saw him, he had been cheated by big, big money. And that's all he could think about, is his money. And he was just talking to lawyers and trying to find his money. And I said, but you said money. He said, no, but you know, when you lose it, it's different. When you have it, you can joke and tell everyone else that they shouldn't worry about it, you know. So when the separation is Krishna's mercy, but it might sound like not very nice, you know, to, in a mundane sense, that he just left, like he just left Vrindavan, he left all the gopis. And, you know, everybody was ready to die, everybody was and crying, and when he was in Dwarka and they would try to discuss, and they would, you know, he would discuss, like, why doesn't he go back, you know, because he knows the residents of Vrindavan are just, they're just sitting there, you know, practically. Yasoda and Nanda, they didn't eat, they didn't take care of anything, just crying for Krishna to come back. And he did come back sometimes, but then he was thinking that, you know, if he goes back, they'll be happy, but then they'll be even more unhappy when he leaves again. So that's why he didn't go back. And then he was also feeling bad, but he had to leave in the first place for various duties to perform. But the highest reason that he left and went to Mathura and went to Dwarka and was going around killing all those demons was really to increase the love of the gopis. Then the Krishna never really leaves because they're always thinking of him. And in the case of Krishna, thinking of him and being with him is the same. So like we sing that, Jagayatam Nameshena Chakshusha Pravishayanam Shunyayatam Jagat Sarvam Govinda Virahiname. That, you know, feeling a separation, a moment seems like 12 years or more. When Lord Chaitanya, the first time he went to Jagannath Puri, and he left the other devotees down by the river there where he lost his danda, and he started running towards the temple. He could see it. But to him, it was like that, like, it felt like the temple just kept getting further away, and the more he ran, the more he thought he was never going to get there, and it seemed like millions of years. And this intense separation. So, but we do experience that in mundane way from different things. If we lose something, we probably experience in our life with relationships. But we need to become attached to Krishna in the first place in order to feel separation from Krishna. If we're not attached to Krishna, then we're not going to feel separation. So that's why the bhakti yoga process will turn into this. So we feel it in little ways. We want to do our service, or we have to chant my rounds, or maybe we're intensely wanting prasadam. There's a little beginning taste, and then gradually we can become really attached to Krishna. Now this chapter just has a couple more verses to kind of clear it up. The next one says, Sukhidev said, while continuing to search out Krishna's path, the gopis discovered their unhappy friend close by, and she was bewildered by separation, so the other gopis found her. They were all looking for Krishna also. And we know that's, you know, how they were going through the forest, and they were asking the trees, and they were asking the animals and the bushes, and, you know, have you seen Krishna? And then they went mad, and they started imitating Krishna's Leela. One of them would pick up another one like Govardhan Hill, and they would do all the different, you know, just to try to remember Krishna, because they were just going mad that Krishna had gone away. And then that made them more attached to Krishna and more thinking of Krishna. And then actually, Krishna is actually there. When we chant the name of Krishna, that is Krishna. That's a special feature. If you chant my name or any other or mundane name, it's not there, but Krishna is there. So that way we connect with everyone else who's chanting. Everyone is connected to Krishna by the name, by the leelas, by the form, by the pujas, by all these different ways, Krishna is actually present. It's not just some mental concoction, Krishna is there. So then this Radharani said, Madhava gave her so much respect, then she suffered because of her misbehavior. She is explaining to the gopi, you know, that I got puffed up, that I tried to order Krishna around. And he left. And the gopis were amazed to hear that. So it says it is natural for Radharani to ask Krishna to carry her. That was consistent with her loving mood of their relationship. But out of great humility, she's saying it was wicked. And the other gopis were astonished. So in that relationship, that's why she, you know, the loving relationship between Radha and Krishna, it's natural that she'd say, well, I'm tired and you have to carry me. Generally a man likes that, you know, that the woman is helpless and wants him to take care of her. And, you know, when people get married, the man carries her into the house. Still do that? Some places they do that. In India they do. But in this case, Krishna reacted differently, because that's part of their loving exchange also. And he, you know, he left her and he told her, you know, who do you think you are? I'm a prince. I'm the son of a king. You can't tell me what to do. Then she's lamenting to the other gopis. So they kept looking for Krishna and went far deep into the forest. It says as far as the light of the moon was shining. But then it became completely dark. So they had to turn back. The forest was so dense, so many trees, that the moon sign couldn't even get in. And that's described at the Vrindavan forest. At that time, even in daytime, the sunlight didn't penetrate. You know, there were so many trees. So things change in the due course of time. So they turn back. And this is described also, it says in the Vishnu Purana, Pravishta Gahanam Krishna, Padam Atra Nalakshate, Nivarta Dvam, Shashankasya, Naitad Diditi Gochara. One gopi said, Krishna has entered such a dark part of the forest that we can't see his footprints even. Therefore, let us turn back, because even the light of the moon. So they were looking for Krishna's footprints. Another ecstasy, how to follow. And Krishna's footprints are unique, so I guess if you can see them, like Akura when he came to Vrindavan, he found. Now there's a few of Krishna's footprints. Sometimes we go to see. It takes a little transcendental vision to understand that. But at that time, right fresh in the forest, they were everywhere. But you're not going to see the footprint in the dark. Then Radharani said, Madhava gave her so much respect. Then the gopis again came to the bank of the Kalindi, Jamuna, meditating on Krishna and eagerly hoping he would come. They sat down together to sing about him. The Katthu Upanishad says, Yam evaisha ritune tena labhya. The super soul can be realized by that person whom he chooses. Thus the gopis fervently pray that Krishna come back to them. That's the end of that chapter. So the six Goswamis, they were always in that mood looking for Krishna. Hey, Jamuna, Govardhan, where is he? Is he at the Govardhan? Is he at the bank at the Jamuna? Is he Vamsi God? And they were running all over Vrindavan, always thinking, like the gopis. Where is he? Chasing here. Lord Chaitanya, he was always experiencing that, but at the last years of his life, he was totally absorbed in this separation from Krishna, this madness. So much so that his associates would worry about it. They couldn't comprehend the mood, because he became fully in the mood of Srimati Radharani, just madly, you know, searching for Krishna. And that way they're always with Krishna, actually, by this intensity. One time in Hyderabad, in 1975, one man, it was supposed to be questions, but he just stood up and he was saying how his mother was always seeing Krishna outside the window or something. And he given him, and devotees started to try to stop him. And Prabhupada said, no, that's all right, let him speak. So he went on and on and on how his mother was always seeing Krishna. And then when he finally finished, Prabhupada said, if you see Krishna once, then you will never, ever look at anything else again. You'll never, ever, have any attraction for anything in the material world. And then he went on and on about how, the Goswamis never said, I have seen Krishna. They never said, I'm seeing Krishna everywhere. They're always looking for Krishna. They're always hankering and always trying to remember Krishna, And this type of remembering Krishna, that is Krishna. So that's why it's so merciful that Krishna has given us these literatures. And we have, of course, Lord Chaitanya, Shri Krishna, Chaitanya, Radha, he is Radha Krishna, now he is Radha and Krishna, combined. So the beauty of Krishna is, inconceivable, but then the beauty of Radharani is even greater. And Krishna, of course, had, this unlimited love for Radharani, so they played these kind of games. It may look cruel, but it's, the gopis call Krishna and Radharani with the bumblebee, she's saying, I don't ever want to, she's criticizing Krishna. And then she feels bad that she criticized Krishna. And when the bumblebee, they should think it, maybe it is Krishna. Then she apologizes. And so this madness is due to intense love, quite inconceivable, but it's there for us to get purified. And Lord Chaitanya, you know, he came to experience Radharani's love for Krishna, because Krishna couldn't understand, how can she love me so much? You know, what is it about me that's so wonderful? So he took the mood of Radharani and came to experience that. And in the process of experiencing that, manifested the Sankirtan movement. You know, the unlimited chanting of the holy name of the Lord everywhere. And spreading of, you know, knowledge of Krishna. Out of his ecstasy, he would be chanting all the time, and then he got everybody to chant. And the more people are chanting, the more Krishna is pleased. So, Radharani is especially merciful. She's, of course, we have both sides that, you know, you can question. Because it says Radharani, she says things like, if Krishna is more attracted to another gopi, then I will gladly arrange for him to be with that one, for his pleasure. But at the same time, when she hears, she can't hear the name of Chandravali or anybody, you know, other, right? Other gopis who were competitive, then she just can't tolerate. But at the same time, she's thinking like that and don't care about anything except Krishna's pleasure. So, Ashla Shiva, Padaratam, Tanashtamam, Darshanam, Mama Tam Karo Tava, Yatata Tava, Vidadatu Lampato, my Prananata Stu Sevana. I don't know anyone except Krishna as my Lord, and he'll always be that, even if he handles me roughly by his embrace, or makes me brokenhearted by not being present before me. And we should learn something from this. Sometimes devotees want that nectar, you know, they think, I gotta have ecstasy. I'm not getting the ecstasy here, but that Krishna is, he wants us to want it, but then we have to also know how to get it. Right? If we want prema, it's not cheap. But sadhana, proper sadhana, under the guidance of the spiritual master, will turn into, you know, the prop, what is it, Vaidhi Bhakti, will turn into Raghunuga automatically when one does it properly and submissively under the guidance of the spiritual master. Otherwise, we can't jump ahead. We can't imitate like sahajas do. They can cry and they can imitate, you know, ecstasy, but and then go and do illicit things also. So Krishna is showing us, you know, something and giving us information about these ecstasies, and he gives us little hints, especially when we first start chanting. You know, then sometimes after a while it's not so much ecstatic as it seemed to be in the beginning. Because Krishna gives us some kind of impetus, you know, to take it up. So maybe it gives us beyond our real position. But then we know and we hear about it and we see great devotees who are blissful. And so these topics of Radha and Krishna, of course, I'm way beyond me, but since it is in the book, we can, you know, go over it. And Prabhupada gave all this. The Bhagavatam gives, and Chaitanya Charitamrita, you know, goes into very much of these relationships between the gopis and Krishna. But not that we should only read that. There was one time it got nicknamed in Los Angeles, the Gopi Baba Club. And they were only reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada's book, but they were focusing on those chapters. And Prabhupada, they said, but Prabhupada, we're only reading your book. And he said, no, but you had to read the whole book. You had to read everything. It's a, you know, there's a balanced diet. You know, we can't eat only sweet rice. That wouldn't be very helpful. In one of the court cases in Russia, and they were saying how the devotee's diet is very unhealthy, and they showed the recipes only for halva and sweet rice. Said, look what they're eating, you know, this is very bad, and it's very, you know, this vegetarian diet is no good. So that's some examples. So trying to just think about the, you know, these intimate relationships all the time, it won't work. Because Krishna is unlimited and he has all kinds of relationships. But it's there and we should think about it and we should join Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement, because the Sankirtan, the Harinam, Kirtan party, we have that one painting with Lord Chaitanya's Kirtan party and then the Rasa dance. It's actually the same thing. So Lord Chaitanya is Radha and Krishna combined. He's even more beautiful than either one of them separated. And we have some understanding that originally Krishna is one, he becomes two, and then he becomes one again. But it's very inconceivable, Krishna. But these kind of relationships, we definitely see the perverted versions of these relationships. We probably all experience them. And, you know, there's millions of movies about them, or imitation Radha and Krishna's. If we just go in any newsstand and see all the magazines, they have so many articles about their little perverted reflections of Radha and Krishna, all these divine couples, right? And you know, what are they doing, and what is their latest divorce, and you know, how much money they got for their children's pictures, and you know, and they're people, because that's natural. They're looking for this ideal couple. And as this one goes on, Prabhupada explains in, that the gopis, when they saw, you know, at first they were feeling like, where is Krishna, but when they saw that Radharani was, that Krishna had left her, then they felt sorry for her. They weren't thinking, good, you know. He's also left her, so then they felt, oh, the poor girl, and Krishna's abandoned her, and that's a test of a devotee, to, you know, to appreciate, and when other get favored, and to feel sorry if, you know, somehow they lose the favor. But what apparently is losing the favor of Krishna is really getting the favor of Krishna. And all these things, many times it may seem like, you know, where is Krishna? We're trying to chant, but there's not so much taste. But that's Krishna just, he's really trying to encourage us to try to harder, to try to do it properly, to beg, to come to the point of actually begging Krishna, crying for Krishna, like these gopis are doing, to be desperate that they don't want anything about Krishna, but Krishna. They don't care for any, you know, society's rules and regulations. They don't care for what other people think about them. All they want is Krishna. That's what, you know, we want to come to that point. Prabhupada gave different gross examples. One time I was on a walk there and somewhere in L.A., and there was this wino guy. In America, there was a lot of them. Like the homeless. More now there's drug addicts, but, you know, they just wine. That's all they think about. They don't eat. They can't eat anything. They just live on wine, and they just, everyone they meet, they just say, can you give me some change? You know, I'll get some wine. Prabhupada said, just see, you know, they doesn't care for anything. Doesn't care for society. Doesn't care for clothes, doesn't care for a house, it's just, you know, he doesn't care for any kind of embarrassment or people rejecting him. Nobody wants to be around those people. They stink. He said, we should be like that for Krishna, like they are for wine. All they care about is wine. They don't, we should think only Krishna. We know that that's the only thing that can maintain our life, the only thing that we need. But it doesn't mean we should be unclean and, you know, obnoxious, but that we know that there's nothing else but Krishna. And everywhere we go, we're just like the gopis. Where is Krishna? Even they met Narayan, you know, because Krishna disguised himself. And they paid obeisances to know, you know, who is Narayan, but then they just said, you know, have you seen Krishna? They weren't interested in Narayan at all. They just accepted that he could maybe tell them where Krishna went. So he said he went that way, you know. And they went running off, where, you know, to find him. They didn't see that was Krishna. When Radharani came, then she saw that was Krishna. Krishna couldn't. Radharani's desire to see Krishna was so intense that he was unable to keep the disguise. You know, he was unable to maintain that forearm form like a disguise in that case, so he had to reveal himself. And there's just to finish that deity, Alalanath. Has anyone ever been there? Alalanath? Near Port Puri? There's a Vishnu deity. And that deity is worshipped as Krishna, because that deity is in that mood. That's the form where Krishna disguised himself as a forearm form. And when Jagannath, during the time when he's ill and nobody, he's not giving any darshan, and Lord Chaitanya would go every day to Alalana to see Krishna. He would run 17 kilometers. He would run there every day and madly to go and see the Lord. That's the place where they said that Lord Nityananda said, "Your holy name will be heard in every town and village." And that temple was run down, and then Bhakti Siddhanta made a great effort, like a marathon, to fix up that temple and make it nice. So that's why that deity is worshipped as Krishna. So he plays games like that with the devotees, and whatever is going on in our life too, he just wants us to become more and more attached, more dependent on him, and more to see that, you know, everything that happens is Krishna. You know, whether things go really nicely, whether our efforts immediately produce all kinds of results, and everyone says what a great creature you are, whether we just struggle and everyone says, you know, don't do that, or no one cares, you know, it just doesn't happen. And no matter what, we have to thank Krishna. You know, he just wants us to become fully dependent on him and cry out for Krishna. Like we see babies crying. You know, we should learn from that. That's how we should be crying for Krishna. Not crying for so many other things that we cry for. Sometimes even just in the name of to do my service for Krishna, I want so many things. Right? But we have to be careful with those things, because they can, sometimes we get bewildered by the things. But we want to only serve Krishna. When we're asking Krishna, we just want service. Just let me serve. Just take over. So, thank you for giving me the chance to speak. This is way over my head. I don't know how to deal with this. But the Sankirtan movement is, you know, this is what it's all about. And this is our goal, is to join the Lord and Krishna. But I remember when the Gaura Nithai were installed in Los Angeles, the big Gaura Nithai, Prabhupada was really, at least it seemed to me like an amazing ecstasy that day, more than normal. And when the curtains opened, like I was standing, you know, behind the Vyasasan, and he didn't walk, he just like he was there in front of the deity, like instantly. And then, but he said, then when he spoke, he said that, you know, our goal is to join the Rasa Leela, the dance of Radha and Krishna. But in order to enter that, we need the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And then to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, we have to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda. And then to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, he said, we need the mercy of Jagai and Madai. We have to preach to the Jagais and Madais. He was saying how in Lord Chaitanya's time there was just the two Jagais and Madais. He said, I don't want to brag, but all of my disciples are Jagai. He said, we have to preach to the Jagais and Madais, and then we get the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Then we can get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, and then we can. We can't just go to Radha and Krishna and say, I want to join up. We have to be led in there. And so like in the Mayapur temple, that is supposed to have the parampara, I think up to the Goswamis, and then the Panchatattva and Radha Madhava. So they asked Prabhupada, Radha Madhava in the middle? He said, no, they're on the right side. Because you get by the mercy of the Goswamis, and then we get the mercy of the Panchatattva and Lord Chaitanya, and then by them we get So Krishna's giving us all facility, the Sankirtan movement, book distribution. You know, there's plenty of Jagais and Madais around. And we need the mercy of Lord Nityananda to get through to them, to not, you know, to have mercy on them, to see the Krishna in their heart, and that they're just suffering, and, you know, they're really looking for Krishna, and they're not really looking for all the other things that they're looking for. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Any comment or additions or correction? Yeah.
Well, I was about to ask, you mentioned there about the magazine. People imitating rather than Krishna's content.
Yeah.
I just wondered, I remember when I was a man in Shikharita, there was a section there called Writing on the Philosophy, and it was about Prabhupada's instructions about people wanting to write on the philosophy. And I just wondered if you would offer any kind of admonition, any kind of guidelines. If somebody was thinking they wanted to make a movie about Srimad Bhagavatam or about Krishna's pastimes, you know, like I think Sri Ramaswamy recently brought out some books, pastimes about if you would give any specific warning to people who, you know,
a movie?
Yeah, how to stop it being kind of, you know, being artificial or, you know, being dangerously kind of out of line
without. As far as I know, Prabhupada was not very enthusiastic about making movies of Krishna's pastime. You know, because very easily could be misunderstood. But I'm not a movie maker, but I think that's what I've heard, that he didn't really encourage that very much. Although he liked when we did drama. Really, that could be a very long discussion and a lot of technical things.
Maharaj, wasn't it a verse very similar to this one that we're reading today? That one could say it kind of compelled Mahaprabhu in Harimaraja Nipuri. Do you know that aspect?
Well, I don't know the exact verse, but there's many similar moves. Madhava Nipuri introduced that, Radha Krishna worship. Previously they worshipped Krishna separately. So he was totally absorbed in those, you know, worshipping Radha and Krishna like that. And then Lord Chaitanya was inspired by it. But I don't know the exact verse. But Chaitanya, you know, more and more throughout his life, he became totally absorbed in the mood of Radharani and this type of total anxiety of practically dying all the time. Associates were just in complete anxiety, and he would be crying all night and chanting all night and disappearing and going into something, ecstasy. And those things are all in Chaitanya Charitamrita, very important to read, along with Srila Prabhupada's purports. Like Krishna book is the 10th canto, and Prabhupada did that early on, before the rest of the, you know, I mean, when Krishna book came out, there was only a few chapters of Srimad, but well, there was his original ones he brought from India, but that was only a few hundred copies of the first canto. And then there was a few chapters from the second canto that had been published as separate little books. But then he put the Krishna book and the Nectar Devotion, because that's the essence of all the literature. You know, the Leela was that he wasn't sure he was going to live long enough to do everything. But somehow, in the Krishna book, Prabhupada, like, put in all the first 9 cantos somehow or other, you know, so that we can read about all these Vrindavan Leelas and everything and still know who is Krishna, you know, without just getting bewildered by the Leelas the way he wrote and presented it, he put in all the complete understanding of the first 9 cantos, which he said is required. Still, when it comes out, we want to read it the Krishna book, anyone can read that. Any gross person, and so many people read the Krishna book, and they really come enlivened to become servants of Krishna. Whereas if they just read the 10th canto without any purports understanding, like, and it's presented as Sahaja is presented, so probably if you were interested in movies, you'd have to ask Yadavar, who had a lot of discussions with Prabhupada about movies. He did, you know, because he presented different ideas to Prabhupada many times. And Prabhupada, you know, gave a lot of instruction. Alright? To go to the 840. So today is more marathon now. It's interesting. Radharani is the major Sankirtan leader, actually, because she's always engaging everyone in glorifying Krishna and leading all the gopis. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srimati Radharani ki jai. Transcendental book distribution ki jai.